Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Good evening and welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I am your co-host, announcer, and producer, Joe Vecchio, coming to you live from our beautiful studios in Kearny Mesa. 50,000 watts of power. We're reaching not just all of San Diego County, but Orange County, Los Angeles County, Riverside, and I'm told up on a good night all the way up to Seattle. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour, a family office advisor and consultant extraordinaire, CPA, USD alumni, and all that alumnus, I should say, Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you doing?
Doing great. You like our new intro?
I don't know yet.
That was different.
That was good. It was good. It's cutting into our time, though.
Hey, it sounds so serious.
Yeah, it does. It does. Hey, you're getting ready for the Boston Marathon.
That's in 15 days, 2 weeks from tomorrow on Patriots Day, April 16th.
Yeah, that's terrific. So today you did a little warm-up or tune-up run.
Oh, I just ran the Carlsbad 5000, world's fastest 5K. I didn't run very hard because, you know, there's like 15,000 people spread among nine races. I was worried about getting tripped and breaking something.
Now, nine races. So those aren't all 5Ks, are they?
No, they're all 5Ks. They do it by, like, men over 40, women over 40, men in their 30s, women in their 30s, the elite, the open.
And it's like 15,000 people.
And there's like 1,500, 2,000 people in each group.
My gosh. Well, we are, I guess, the triathlon. Are we still the triathlon mecca or running mecca?
Yeah, the big Oceanside half triathlon was Saturday. That's 70.3 miles between everything.
How many of like the world-class men and women are still live here or train here?
Tons of them do.
Yeah.
Carlsbad, North County.
Yeah,
it's a great place to train.
It's a pretty big deal. So,
yeah.
By the way, I know we talked a little bit about it last week, but Hunger Games, I know it's doing well at the box office. It's on 4,100 theater screens plus in this country, but I saw it last night, and, you know, I wouldn't recommend taking your little toddlers to it, or I don't think anybody actually under 17 or 18 should see. Maybe I'm too much of a fogey, but you haven't seen it yet, have you?
Actually, I don't plan to see it.
Yeah, it's... You know, I know there's a trilogy, and it's going to play out where, you know, there's going to be some kind of insurrection or whatever, but just, you know, seeing kids doing, you know, having battles to, you know, lethal battles against each other, it's, I mean, I could handle the gladiators. That's 2,000 years ago, and they didn't have, you know, television, but to see it in the theater like that, it just, I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way, and of course, there's another movie opening up soon, a documentary called Bully. And you know much about that one, Richard, or no?
I know a little bit about it because it's about bullying in school. And yeah. I guess there's a premiere here in San Diego on Thursday, which is the same day as opening day.
No. Press screening.
Oh, I'm sorry, press screening. Yeah. Press screening on Thursday, not a premiere.
Yeah, premiere's on March 13th.
That's right.
I'll be seeing it Thursday. And, I'm looking forward to that. But... Look, the violence in schools, it's when you and I were growing up going to school, there's rites of passage and, you know, a little skirmishes and everything else, but when you hear about Columbine and things like that, I mean, obviously we have to think these things through a little better and see what we're promoting out there. It's kind of disconcerting, so... you've got the marathon. Now, do you have a target time for the Boston Marathon? Or?
I'd like to run it under 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, all right.
We'll see, it's doable.
Well, how many have you done? How many marathons?
This will be my fifth marathon, my second Boston.
Wow. And, of course, you've just taken up running everyone thinks you have to be, you know, running since you're, you know,
so 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
So we'll see.
Anyway.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. By the 20th mile, I'll be regretting the decision.
Yeah. Well, I know we don't have a guest in the studio tonight, but you're going to introduce him because he is on the line.
Hey, Carl Sheeler, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. Where are you? Are you in New Mexico right now?
I am in New Mexico.
How's the baby horse doing?
Well, the baby horse is doing fine. In fact, I can hear your broadcast all the way from San Diego to New Mexico.
Can you really?
On a very high mountain.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, you didn't know we went that far east.
Scott, how about that?
New Mexico.
And I heard we go north. I didn't know we got to New Mexico. You must have a
hey, anything to build up the ego. We got to change the pace of this discussion a little bit. Kids beating up each other and
The Hunger Games
food.
Yeah.
Here's the story,
why don't
folks.
We go to something a little bit more lighthearted. Then
Carl sent me a photograph a few months ago of a foal, a baby horse that was born on. I guess it's National Bureau of Land space. Yep. It's right behind your property in New Mexico, and I guess that
Correct.
Little horse gets bigger and bigger by the day, but just a really neat photograph.
Yep, thank you.
So, that neat stuff.
That was like on Christmas Day or something, wasn't it?
Just before, yeah.
Very cool picture.
So, Carl, thanks for calling in all the way from New Mexico. We're going to talk about business valuation tonight.
Oh, yippee.
Well, that's what you do, isn't it?
Well, I'm wondering, depending on when Games of Thrones starts, it may just be the three of us that are on the air right now. We'll find out. Yes,
I know.
Evaluations is what we do.
What games? Are there games tonight?
Game of Thrones. That's the HBO series.
Oh.
And also a trilogy as well.
Oh, not familiar, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Hunger Games, is, by the way, Carl, is not just about kids fighting. I mean, it's like they duel to the...
Oh, believe me, I know the storyline.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty gruesome, but whatever. They got to sell tickets, I guess, so...
Well, I guess if you've been through an IRS audit, it's kind of the same.
Well, you know, Carl, I've got a couple of those going on, and I'm quite frankly disappointed in the quality of personnel that the IRS is attracting.
That's your new motto, Carl.
I got to be blunt about that.
Take me to your audit. I pack heat. I like that. You'll get some clients for that.
So, Carl, I don't know if you listened to the show last week, but we had some CPAs on, Don Epic and Paul Polito, and they were talking about the first thing I want to talk about in the context of valuation.
Sure.
They were talking about the choice of business entity, choices between things like S corporations and regular corporations and limited liability companies and limited partnerships.
Yes.
We didn't get into this with them last week because that was an income tax discussion, but I wanted to ask you, can choice of legal entity for your business have a significant impact on valuation issues?
It could. It could. Based on the provisions that are written within the document in which the structure you choose, an operating agreement for a partnership as opposed to bylaws in a corporation, and in a corporation, the difference between a C-corp and an S-corp, which has limitation on the number of shareholders, also the difference between one being a pass-through and the other being double-taxed.
But let's assume I have a very successful, closely held business, and I want to pass it on to my next generation, my children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It would not be uncommon, for example, to use something like a flow-through entity, an S-corp or an LLC or limited partnership, as an ownership structure to facilitate that succession planning and wealth transfer planning, would it not?
Absolutely, particularly if the goal is a zero-tax strategy, which is between philanthropic gifting and also discounts that are associated with the equity interests that are transferred from generation one to generation two or three, effectively, at least for estate tax purposes, zero out any taxes.
And I think that's an important point because we don't know what the estate tax rules or the gift tax rules are going to be in 2013. We're already into April of 2012. We know that we can gift away this year $5.12 million because of the cost
Correct.
Of living index increase.
Correct.
But next year, we don't know if we can or not. Are you advising families that own successful businesses to seriously consider gifting this year?
Well, at such time as we're afforded the opportunity to have that discussion, certainly the trusted advisors that they speak to, this is a window of opportunity. We've certainly seen an uptick in businesses, not just operating businesses. It's also partnerships that hold marketable securities or real property that are anticipating appreciation. Trying to get that out of the estate now makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Now being the year 2012.
Exclusion. And then, of course, as I'm sure you mentioned the last week, is an issue of portability. So it's not even really $5.12 million if it's a husband and wife. That not used by one spouse can be used by the other spouse. So, in effect, we're talking about $10.24 million, which removes everybody other than a fraction of 1% as far as net worth.
So are you anticipating being real busy in the fourth quarter with valuations?
It's a great question. We're hoping to be busier sooner than that because it will literally be a challenge. You know, picture tax season and then amp it up because everybody will want to try to get out underneath the window. And I think the political climate will probably have an impact on whether people are more aggressively trying to get that done as well. This would be the year to start listening to your accountants and attorneys who have probably been suggesting to you to start looking at that and also the life insurance piece too, so that you don't have to liquidate the business just to cover the estate taxes if you are less prepared.
Excellent, Carl. We have to take a short break right now, though, so please hold that thought. We'll continue right after we get back with some messages with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
I've made my choice. I know what side of the line I'm on. Anybody who wants to join, you join me on this side of the line, because I'm going down swinging. This administration and their thugs will put you out of business and crush you and your American dream for generations to come. And I have a right to say it. Talk radio is not going to be destroyed. My freedom of speech will not be impaired.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
When you think of the older home specialists, think of Point Loma Electric. For over 40 years, owner Jim Dent has been upgrading the electrical service in older homes to accommodate modern appliances. Jim has trained his experienced team of electricians to use techniques taught by his father, who is also an electrician, and also the principle that a job is not complete until you are 100% satisfied. Older homes require an electrician to crawl under the house and through the attic. Point Loma is all about that. They love it. While other electricians often cut large holes in the wall to run new wires and circuits, Point Loma Electric has special tricks for running wires through older homes without chopping open your walls. Let Point Loma Electric bring your home into the 21st century. So who are you going to call when the lights go out? It's really a no-brainer. The experts at Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672. 619-224-0672. That's 619-224-0672. Or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
Diabetes and high blood pressure go hand in hand. In fact, 60% of diabetics have high blood pressure. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease and stroke in many diabetics. You can effectively manage your high blood pressure the same way you manage your diabetes, by testing. For a limited time, Diabetic Health Agency is offering a free 2-in-1 monitor that checks both your blood sugar and blood pressure. That's right. Test your blood sugar and blood pressure at the same time when you join our program. This special offer is available to diabetics that have Medicare or private insurance. So now you can get the state-of-the-art blood glucose monitor and blood pressure machine in one device delivered to your home at little or no cost to you. If you're a diabetic and you're covered by Medicare or private insurance, call the Diabetic Health Agency today and get your free 2-in-1 monitor. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. That's 800-819-8329.
Rapid Transmissions, a proud supporter of the Warrior Foundation, gives back to our military heroes, and for a limited time, only they plan to give back to you. Receive a transmission service for only $69.95 on most vehicles, to include an external inspection, fluid, filter, pan gasket, and labor through April 30th. Spend $69.95 now for simple preventative maintenance, or wait until you're stuck on the side of the road with a repair that could cost thousands. Do the right thing. Call Rapid now, 800-562-7675 or rapidtransmissions.com.
Your home is your biggest investment. You do anything to protect it. Hi, I'm Sue Freeze, the termite lady. When you have termites, there's only one company to call, Ecola. termite and pest control. Ecola will get rid of termites and other pesky insects. Smart choices, simple solutions, problem solved, mother approved. Call for a free estimate at 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-2847. Ecola, E-C-O-L-A, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
We lead the conversation. Follow us, 760 KFMB.
Back with more of It's Your Money Not Theirs with that. I think that was from the FBI with Ephraim Zimbalist. Remember that show, Richard?
No, I'm not that old. Come on, Joe.
Carl, you probably
Carl,
remember.
You remember that show?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Hey, Carl, where in New Mexico are you? Where are you hearing us?
A beautiful little place called Placidus up against the foothills and the Sandia Mountain Range.
Is it near Albuquerque or what's it near?
It's about split difference between Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
Wow. Incredible. And you're getting us through your regular home radio, right?
No. I would say that just to kind of pump up the volume.
Oh, you're getting us online. Okay. Oh yeah, because I was gonna call our program director tomorrow and say what they. I mean, we do reach Norway and Sweden because people have these huge antenna over there.
We do have people listen to us on the radio in Seattle, but we seem to project north better than any other direction.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
And of course, there's the web. All right. Well,
so, Carl, let me ask you a question. Oh, sure. Well, actually, before I do that, let me thank our sponsors: UBS, Mr. Michael Quarantra, and Drew Frates. Our newest sponsor, Regents Bank, Sean Puckett and Dan Yates. Of course, the CPA firm of Polito Epic. I already plugged those guys in the first segment. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal. And, of course, Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited, who's our guest tonight.
Yes.
Carl, here's a specific question. You couldn't come to this lunch that I hosted 2 weeks ago because I think you were at a family office conference in San Francisco that I couldn't go to because I was hosting this lunch down here 2 weeks ago. But our special guest of honor was his honor, Judge David Lauro. And Judge Lauro is probably the most well-known tax court judge here in the United States, in particular on issues concerning valuation for estate tax and gift tax. And we had an interesting discussion about the possible sunset of the Bush-era tax cuts. Let's assume that it's really bad news and the $5.12 million death and gift exemption sunsets back to only $1 million in 2013. If there is a mad rush in December for people to transfer wealth because they know that's going to happen or they don't want to take a chance of getting cut out if that happens, my question to the judge was, since economic substance, and in some cases the IRS would argue actual business purpose, has to exist to transfer assets in a family setting, if somebody did this on December 31st, 2012, knowing that the exemption amounts would decrease, would that maybe harm their whatever arguments they have for economic substance and or business purpose? What do you think, Carl?
Great question. I think, again, one of the things that we recommend to the trusted advisors is that they have a signing letter that clearly spells out the various motivations that are other than tax avoidance, trying to keep interests within the family, the things that we think about when people are in disputes. That's why they get interest as opposed to direct ownership assets. But one might argue, as long as the documentation is already in place, even if that transfer occurred on that day, there's a thing called the 2036A, which is there a legitimate business purpose? If the answer is no, then they'll gross up the estate. If the answer is yes, then it's a question of how much will they allow you as far as the impairments associated with the lack of control, lack of marketability. But, yeah, it's a two-step process. I would urge not to wait until the 31st of December, but we know people are just people, and sometimes they want to wait to the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, people want to wait until the last minute because they want certainty. I think that's one of the challenges with estate planning right now is nobody knows what the rules are next year, so it's hard
Absolutely.
To make decisions because there's so much uncertainty, and so that causes people to get the deer in the headlights look, and they don't do anything. Inertia sets in. Now, of course, if the value of your business continues to increase or the value of your real estate holding company continues to increase while you're sitting there doing nothing, that's not good because the best time to give things away are when they're worth less money than when they're worth more money.
Well, there are sexy things that you can do even before the end of the year. For example, if you own assets that you expect will be highly appreciated or already highly appreciated, you can have a LLC called a preferred LLC, which creates two classes of stock. And one class A receives most of the income, and class B receives almost all the assets and the appreciation, but they're discounted radically. And the reason for that is that the likelihood that they're going to get any income until the underlying assets are sold, which could be 30 years or more, causes the discounts to go considerably higher.
And do you think Congress or the administration will ever attempt to attack discounts or legislate them out or in some limited fashion?
It's a great question. For those that have been in this market for any length of time, I'm sure you remember, Richard, when Chapter 14 came into play.
I am old enough to remember that,
eventually,
yes.
It legislated what could and could not be done with regards to what's called the state freezes, a ways to minimize appreciation tax liabilities. There's something called H.R. 436, which Senator Pomeroy a few years back put forth, has not actually been looked at by Baucus and the Finance Committee, but if it hit the floor, it could be rather interesting. What it would do is, other than farms and certain types of entities, it would eliminate the impairment discounts for lack of control, lack of marketability. In other words, no discounts. Ironically, if it was a publicly traded company, the impairments may exactly exist, such as when there's restricted stock, you get the stock at less than its market value because you can't liquidate it for a certain set period of time. I think constitutionally, it would be challenged, and in the long term, it would be defeated, but from a trust in the state standpoint, the practitioners, whether it's the attorneys or the accountants or the appraisers, certainly would have to be looking at other opportunities, asset protection, and also obviously dealing with much larger clients are going to have complex issues that are
Carl, I have to apologize and interrupt right there because we have to take a break, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after these commercial announcements, so hang on.
It's okay to be a follower when we're the leader. San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
An open letter to a hairpin turn from a new BMW 3 Series driver.
Dear hairpin turn, you used to ridicule me as I timidly drove along your tight bend in my old car. When you said I didn't drive so much as crawl, I was hurt, but I knew you were right. That's why I switched to a BMW. The all-new 328i has a new twin-power turbo four-cylinder engine that puts out 240 horses, beating out its competitors. In addition, it gets 36 highway miles per gallon. Basically, it has the power of a six-cylinder with the fuel efficiency of a four. Plus, it comes with no-cost maintenance. Don't take it personally, hairpin turn. But this is personal.
The all-new 2012 BMW 3 Series. We only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine.
Now through April 2nd, lease a 2012 BMW 328i sedan for just $399 a month. Visit sdcountybmw.com/finance today for full details.
Slider Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry, so my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper is on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give him a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
When choosing a treatment for cancer, experience counts. As the nation's first proton treatment center, Loma Linda University Medical Center pioneered the use of proton radiation for the treatment of prostate, lung, and brain cancers. We treat more patients than any other center of its kind in the world. Nearly a fourth of all proton therapy patients are treated at Loma Linda University Medical Center. Nearly 12,000 in all. Over 1,000 last year. Unlike IMRT and tomotherapy, which use X-rays, protons can be controlled to start and stop in the body to deliver maximum radiation to the tumor. This increased precision leads to less radiation to surrounding healthy tissues. To learn more and receive your free informational DVD, visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS. Loma Linda University Medical Center. Many strengths, one mission.
Hey, it's John from mojopages.com. A lot of my friends have told me they've heard our commercials on 760 KFMB about how we make it fast, easy, and reliable for you to find the best local businesses. But they're still a little confused about what a business's mojo is. Mojo can mean a lot of different things, like Austin Powers used it to attract the opposite sex. It also describes a magical charm in African folklore. But for us, mojo is a score that we give to every business that ranks them from best to worst. So we can use this score to tell you who the number one dentist is in San Diego, the number one restaurant, the number one plumber, etc. We get the Mojo score by analyzing over 3 million customer reviews, and that's more than just about any other review site. We take all these reviews, we put them through a crazy mathematical algorithm, and it spits out the Mojo score for each business. Go ahead and try it for yourself at mojopages.com. Hey, it's totally free, it's easy to use, and it'll help you find a great business. Go to mojopages.com. Check Mojo, then go.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Mega Millions comes to San Diego. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories we're following. Well, it's a small part of it. Two people here in San Diego got a little piece of the Mega Millions lotto. They picked five of the correct numbers. They're going to each get nearly $228,000. And a pair of San Diego men are now in custody for allegedly posing as FBI agents. Prosecutors say the two posed as G-men in an attempt to scam an Ocean Beach woman out of more than $200,000. And to help protect kids, the County Board of Supervisors is going to vote on Monday on a new law that would ban the sale and distribution of synthetic drugs like bath salts, K2, and spice. Well, SeaWorld invites you to enjoy amazing nighttime experiences with extended park hours during spring and at night. There's never been a better time to get a SeaWorld fun card, pay for a day, play all year. In weather right now, partly cloudy and 60 degrees at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Aztecs baseball team completed a three-game sweep of Air Force this weekend. They won today 5-3. They play the Titans on Tuesday. Glenn Beck is coming to San Diego. Get tickets at 760KFMB.com.
A Coast Guard cutter is about 400 miles off the California coast where a racing yacht is disabled. Three sailors on board were injured and are going to be flown out as soon as it's safe to fly.
The weather is always unpredictable, and that's what we've been facing the most of all day today is the seas, winds, and the ability for the cutter to launch the aircraft.
Lieutenant Charles Kelly with the U.S. Coast Guard. In Florida, a smaller-than-expected crowd at a rally for Trayvon Martin. The teenager's mother thanked those who came.
You guys just don't know how much you mean to us. Each and every one of you. It means so much to us to see you all here.
The group is calling for the arrest of George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watchman who said he acted in self-defense. Mitt Romney's staff pulled an April Fool's prank today. They directed him to a room where he was introduced, but there was nobody sitting in the audience. Romney thought it was funny. I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow, noon to 3.
The reason we conservatives are conservatives because we know it works.
Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
We are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs with Richard Muzio here in studio and in New Mexico. Carl Sheeler, welcome back.
Okay, guys, here's the most important question of the night. Who's going to win the game tomorrow night, Kentucky or Kansas?
Carl? I'm going with Kentucky.
Me too. I'm going with Kentucky, Joe.
Well, I thought you said Kansas a couple weeks.
I said Kansas would make the finals.
Oh, I'll take Kansas just for the heck of it then. How about that?
The underdog. Hey, Carl, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, if they can outrun me, that's one way. Well, the best way to get hold of me is either by a phone call or an email. The phone call, as you've given before, is 1-800-286-6635, extension 211. Email Carl, C-A-R-L, at biz, B-I-Z, vals, V-A-L-S, L-T-D.com.
which is also your website, I see here. And you have six offices, so you're pretty busy, huh?
We try.
I mean, you travel quite a
bit.
Keeping
us out of trouble.
Okay. Albuquerque, Boston, New York, San Diego, Las Vegas, and San Francisco with your main office here in San Diego, I take it.
Correct, downtown.
Excellent. Okay.
So, Carl, I want to talk about something that you probably, well, have read backwards and forwards, and that would be the Mandelbaum case.
Yes, attributed to Judge Laro.
Yeah, Judge Laro presided over that case in the late 1990s, and it was, I think, seminal work in terms of how the courts, and now for that matter, how the Internal Revenue Service looks at valuation for estate and gift from an estate and gift perspective, as well as sometimes from an income tax perspective. Can we just talk a little bit about that case? Because the judge came up with 9 factors in that case, and some of them are really obvious, but some of them aren't so obvious, or things that people necessarily think about when valuing. So I'm going to read a couple obvious ones and let you comment just real quickly before we get to what I think are some of the more interesting ones. A couple of the obvious ones, and most people would think about this when valuing a company or an asset that's being gifted or transferred: financial statement analysis and dividend or payout policy. Those are pretty obvious things, but can you comment on those two things?
Yes. Basically, what it comes down to is the ability of the entity to make a distribution after paying a reasonable compensation for management or the absence thereof. So if it's not very profitable or it's not generating much in the way of income to be distributed, it tends to drive up a discount.
But what if there's significant liquidation value?
Then it becomes an issue is what has been the historic past as far as the buying and selling of equity interest or underlying assets. So even if that value was there, if it's deferred either as a result of a provision or as a result that you have an inadequate a voting block in order to effectuate a sale, if there's no put or call option in the agreements, you own an interest in an entity that has great value, but you have no ability to cause it to liquidate unless you can show that there's a breach of fiduciary duty on the part of the controlling shareholder.
So this brings up a concept that I used to be very critical of the IRS of in the early 1990s when we were arguing about valuation, and I think Judge Laro's Mandelbaum case really clarified this, and I'll allow you to comment. The concept of holding period of the asset.
Huge. It's a huge issue, and quite frankly, I would argue it oftentimes is overlooked. It depends on the asset class. We understand that when one makes an investment, that usually they want to buy it and hold it for a certain period of time. However, if there is a provision that causes a protracted period that you have no say, and the optimal point in time would have been to have sold it, let's say, within 7 years. 7 years has gone by, and that's been held for 10 years. What should that discount be? And then what's going on in the marketplace as of that particular point in time? So needless to say, holding period is a large factor.
And I frequently find that issue omitted in valuation reports, certainly not your valuation reports, but other people's, because everybody sort of makes this underlying assumption that all assets are readily marketable. But they quite frankly
aren't.
Well,
even the service does. There is the assumption that there would be the ability to automatically go to cash or cash equivalent. But again, there is little evidence that one would have that ability, particularly if they didn't have a voting block or if they didn't have control, that they would be able to do so. And if they were able to do so, could they do so in the same period of time that if you had publicly traded stock, you call up the broker, you sell it within seconds, and you receive cash usually in a couple of days? You know, say, unless liquid assets, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. Now, I know families who never sell anything. You probably know families who never sell anything either. Donald Sterling, who owns the LA Clippers, never sells anything.
Right.
So if you happen to be a limited partner with Donald Sterling, you've got a really long holding period, unless you can find some other limited partner who wants to take out your interest.
Correct. And anybody that's involved in that type of investment recognizes that you're going to take a major haircut. What I usually use as a very simplistic example is folks that have purchased timeshares and then decided that perhaps it wasn't the best use of their capital.
So that'd be 100% of the buyers, but go ahead.
Yeah. and that's the point.
Yeah.
The point being is that you're going to buy it close to retail, and you're going to sell it for even less than wholesale. So if you bought it for $15,000, good luck trying to even get $3,000 for it on the open market, assuming you can find a buyer.
Yeah, assuming you can find a buyer. And a lot of assets work that way if there's multiple owners, because, again, you've mentioned these terms before. If there's non-control, that is to say, if you own a minority interest, you can't affect necessarily the decisions about holding period or when to liquidate. And then again, obviously, lack of marketability has to do with, is there a market within which you can sell this thing, or is there really not? Obviously, publicly traded stocks are a good example of something that are marketable, although they're non-controlling interests, typically, that somebody owns. But many assets, you know, the market for buyers is very, very limited, especially if there's other owners, because who in their right mind is, and you make this point with timeshares, who in their right mind wants to have partners in things that you own?
Correct. We actually just did a paper that went out to most of the trust and estate attorneys and tax attorneys in town just a few days ago, and it identified the issues that are less common, at least what we see less common in a lot of the work product, and arguably maybe one of the reasons that we've had less challenges over the 20 years that I've been at the helm. And frankly, what it comes down to is, what is the reasonable expectation of this notional investor under what's called the standard of fair market value? So let's say the interest, I own a 5% interest in something that's worth $100 million. That's $5 million. So the first question should be asked is, what are the number of potential buyers of something in cash or cash equivalent that could pay $5 million? That's a very small pool of buyers. And they would be accredited, and classically they tend to prefer more passive investments that are more readily liquid. Why would they want to buy a 5%? So there's got to be an inducement or concession that's made that's going to lower the pro rata amounts below the $5 million. And the question then becomes is, what am I getting while I'm waiting to have this asset or interest sold? If I'm getting a high dividend, let's say if I'm getting a 12% yield per year, which is highly unusual, but it could happen, then one might argue that discounts would be much lower. But conversely, if it hasn't appreciated much in value during the holding period and it's spinning off very little cash, maybe a 2% yield, it should get a heavy discount, north of 60%.
Agreed. And the other issue, people who have high net worth typically like to control the assets that they own. They're not very good about being non-controlling owners. They've typically made their net worth because they were in control of the company that they built or the real estate enterprise that they built. They were not passive, in other words, to create their net worth. And so therefore, they have a hard time at any point during their wealth cycle being a passive or minority owner, because they like having control, because they believe they're good at making the decisions that help to enhance value in the things that they own.
Well, the good news and the bad news is that there are various legal instruments that can be created so that control may not be perceived as direct, but is still indirect, because that is one of the tests that are currently used by the service. If you still have the enjoyment of the underlying asset, if you're mingling funds or taking income from that asset that should not have been taken for, let's say, personal reasons and expense, that would probably not be a good thing. That there is a tax court case that came down very hard on the taxpayer, and that was called Strangi. And that's a classic example of where control was never given up, and everything that you could possibly do wrong in violation of code was done wrong, and they grossed up the estate, and there was a second appeal, Strangi 2, same decision was made. So giving up control is one of the major issues that make a determination of whether the discount would be applicable and upheld in the case that there is an IRS examination.
One more factor in Mandelbaum that I sometimes see omitted from valuation reports, again, certainly not yours, but sometimes people don't really seriously consider the position in a particular in the industry in question that a company has if we're valuing a closely held company, as well as its future economic prospects. It's almost as though the valuation is done in a static, just point-in-time way. I'm not necessarily recognizing that things change very quickly, both as to industries as well as general economic conditions and so on. And in many cases, I notice there aren't really good comparisons to where somebody stands in relationship to the competitors for this company.
Again, a very good point, Richard. Actually, there's two points here. It's what's going on externally to the business. A classic example, if you had the exact same business, but it was valued as of January 2007, would be very wholly different than if it was valued as of January 2009. As we probably recall, the market went off the cliff starting in October 2008 and bottomed out as of March 2009. So one, not looking at those external market factors, would probably inadvertently overvalue or underdiscount the equity interest. Internally, a comparison, a very deep comparison of the business as it's performing against competitors and what is its viability as far as scale or growth becomes very relevant. And again, I think what it allows you to do is have a much stronger support for the impairments, we call impairments, which is really the discounts for lack of control, lack of marketability. There's actually several dozen of them, but those are the two most common.
So do we get an impairment because the family members don't get along? That's a facetious comment.
Actually, it's a good question. If, in fact, there is a history of disputes, that should be a consideration that somebody could try to sue to liquidate the entity that's holding the asset. It then becomes a question of how well written was it. But family disputes is exactly one of the reasons that is permitted as to effectuating those discounts.
Excellent.
So even when I'm joking, I'm not joking. Hey, yeah. Joe, do we have to take a break?
Yeah, we do.
I hear music in my ears.
Yeah, Carl, sorry we have to interrupt, but we've got to take a short break now. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Follow Mark Levin tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
This administration is so focused on your children, on separating your decisions from your children's well-being. It's just scary. Hey, what the hell? I don't focus on things like this just to focus on things like this. This is enormous power. You can't go to the bathroom without having something federally regulated. Your toilet paper is federally regulated. Did you know that? So is the toilet. So is the water in the toilet.
Mark Levin, tomorrow night, 6 to 9. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Hi, it's Roger, and for years I've been telling you about how I and most of my family got clear vision restored by Dr. David Shanslin, an incredible pioneer in vision correction procedures. Now, Dr. Shanslin has moved to a new home. He's chosen Gordon Weiss Vision Institute as his new home in San Diego to provide the latest vision correction procedures. Dr. Michael Gordon and Dr. Jack Weiss have long pioneered new research and advanced surgical techniques in laser and cataract surgery. At a recent appointment where I got my contacts updated, Dr. Shanslin's team was showing me all of the incredible technology they have. The new Gordon Weiss Shanslin Vision Institute. They simply have the best doctors, the best technology, and the best service. So I've moved with Dr. Shanslin and his team, and I hope you do too. See the difference at the Gordon Weiss Shanslin Vision Institute. Get special reduced pricing on LASIK during the special Welcome Dr. Shanslin celebration. Call 800-NEW-VISION, 800-NEW-VISION, or go online at GordonWeissVision.com.
You've seen the Total Gym on TV for years. Total Gym is the all-in-one fitness solution designed to help you reach your fitness goals quickly. Top celebrities like Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley rely on the Total Gym to keep in shape. And now you can try the Total Gym 30 days risk-free for just $49.95. With the Total Gym, you can work out all major muscle groups, even cardio exercises, with one machine, all in the comfort of your own home. And when you're done, you can fold the Total Gym up and slide it under your bed. Now you can get in the best shape of your life like Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley have with the Total Gym. Call now for your 30-day risk-free trial offer. Call now for free shipping.
800-544-5528. 800-544-5528.
800-544-5528. 800-544-5528.
Mike Slater's been singing the praises of Point Loma Electric. Owner and master troubleshooter Jim Dent and his skilled team of electricians are the older home specialists. They've been serving San Diego since 1988 and are one of the few electricians who specialize in upgrading older home electrical systems. Most electricians prefer new construction or commercial electrical work because it's clean and easy. Point Loma Electric enjoys the challenge. If your home was built before 1985, chances are your old fixed wiring is on overdrive and unable to accommodate the modern appliances of today, potentially placing your home at risk for a house fire. Let Point Loma Electric bring your home into the 21st century and rest easier knowing your home and family are safe. Mike Slater has been receiving email testimonials from happy KFMB listeners who have made the call to Point Loma Electric. Why not let that next email come from you? So who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672. 619-224-0672. Or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
We lead, you follow, they get out of the way. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, back with Richard Muzio and Carl Sheeler in New Mexico. Welcome.
Thanks again to our major sponsor, UBS, Mr. Michael Quaranta and Mr. Drew Frates. And Carl, I want to get back to, well, this is not necessarily the Mandelbaum case, but this is, well, I'm going to tell everybody, this is why I really like Carl. Because we talk about valuation, generally, most practitioners talk about valuation as some sort of static thing that after the fact, somebody comes in to do. By after the fact, I mean somebody makes a gift, now we have to value the gift, or somebody dies, so we have to value the real estate fractional interest or the closely held business on the estate tax return. But Carl, one thing that you do that's really neat, you could actually help companies who are working on a game plan to improve their value and sell someday or go public someday or do something to realize that value, make that value liquid. But you can actually help companies improve their valuations and valuation multiples, right?
Correct. If I might give an example, what we say is we measure, create, and defend value. Defend being litigation. Create being how can the business be enhanced so that its value goes up. So what differentiates our work product is not, as you said, a static, we just follow the cookbook and we follow all the steps in the recipe and we're done. What we try to identify is what is the value drivers in a business. In a larger example, we had a business that we valued, and we identified several value drivers that would allow for management, if they made determination to go forward with the time and resources, an additional $200 million in value. Now, obviously, that's pretty large for most of the family-owned businesses, but even in the smaller businesses, let's say that has a $3 million value, there are things that they could do to scale that business so that it could become a $30 million business, and these are some of the things that we try to identify in our valuation reports.
So let me ask you a simple question, because I work with a lot of medium-sized, even larger companies. In many cases, they're very insular. That is to say, they don't use the resources of outside boards of directors or even boards of advisors. Is having a team of advisors, maybe it's your close, you know, your business advisors like attorneys and accountants, or other successful business owners in other industries that you might be friends with on a board of advisors, can that increase the value of a company, getting that outside input?
Absolutely. I mean, there are some very simple things that a business owner can do. That would be one of them. It doesn't even have to be your current accountant, your current banker, your life insurance, your PC insurance, your attorney. It could be other people that you've met in those professions who might be able to make some observations on current advice that they are receiving. People that perhaps the business owner is very good at market development, but not very good in back office. So if you have somebody on the advisory board that can help them with operational and governance issues, all these things are things that we're looking at as far as what multiple will be applied. And these are relatively simple things that the business owner can do.
So let me ask you about multiples, because I get phone calls all the time and somebody will say, so Richard, if I wanted to sell my business, what's the multiple times you know, that. So what is it? What is, Carl, is it the answer three, four? What's the answer?
Well, the reason I chuckle is we use a very simple example. So you have an accounting firm, let's say.
It's worthless. So it's worthless. So pick a better example.
And there is a contractor that installs windows, and he does $7 million in annual revenue. And so if you both had the same profitability, would the multiple be the same? And, of course, the answer is no, because in an accounting business, more than likely, those are a continuity of clients that you're going to have year after year after year, where I, as the contractor, am going to have to bid and secure new business each and every time. There are one-on relationships. So that's going to influence multiples. Now, what would influence the multiple of the accounting firm, just using that as an example, is most accounting firms have to be owned and managed by CPAs. So the pool of potential buyers would be smaller. So, yeah, there's a lot of factors, but when somebody says rule of thumb, hey, you know, my buddy got a 4x multiple, I should too, not necessarily. So, because we might look at your debt and say your debt looks a little bit on the rough side, or we might say that your business operates much better than your friends did when he sold it. And by the way, he sold it in 2006, and you're trying to sell it in 2012. And the market is a little bit different because the availability of cash for debt is different. So the multiples are affected as well.
Yeah, and then the other issue that's sort of hidden in what you said, not I shouldn't say hidden, but you didn't really express it, so I'm going to ask about this. It's the value associated with a key person. For example, there was a case called Paul Mitchell. I think it was Paul Mitchell Beauty Products. Everybody's heard of Paul Mitchell. And you know, he was really the driver of the value of that company, whereas in other companies, the management team sort of institutionalizes the technology or the knowledge, and so it's, the value is not dependent, for example, on any one person. Can you comment on that?
Yes, you're referring to sometimes referred to as the key man or key person discount. Paul Mitchell was an example of a case where the value of the stock of the company was radically impaired or reduced as a result of his passing. Flip side of that was Steve Jobs. Obviously, we're familiar with Steve Jobs and Apple, but there was a clear transition plan. People knew that perhaps he was unwell, and if you've been following the stock of Apple, it didn't take much of a haircut because Mr. Jobs passed. Okay. So key person is not necessarily just the founder of the company. If you have an estimator and you're a contractor and your competitor woos them away from you and you no longer have an estimator on jobs that built a lot of relationships, that's an example of exposure that's going to affect your multiple. We call
great.
It a key person discount.
Great point. Sorry to cut you off, Carl, but I think we need to wrap up.
Yeah, we do need to wrap up.
Time.
Yeah, Carl, thanks very much, and we'll have to get you back on.
Thanks for calling in all the way from New Mexico. And go pat that pretty little baby horse on the head.
Thank you,
absolutely
Richard.
Beautiful.
Have a great week,
thank
Richard.
Gentlemen.
Thank you, Scott Love, our technical director. Thank you, Craig Blanke, account executive. And thank you, Dave Sniff, our programming genius. You have a great week and a great Easter Sunday. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
If you have diabetes, then you know your meter is your lifeline. Luckily for you, new meters are more accurate and are easier to use. And if you're covered by Medicare, when you call Arriva Medical and enroll, we will provide free delivery of your new meter. Medicare patients may even qualify to have all their supplies fully covered with no out-of-pocket costs. We'll even bill Medicare for you directly. There are no upfront costs, and the supplies will be delivered right to your door for free. Yes, free home delivery. Call now and find out why thousands of diabetics are calling Arriva Medical. If you're covered by Medicare and you want to learn how to receive free delivery of a new meter and testing supplies when you enroll, call this number now.
800-917-8672. 800-917-8672. 800-917-8672. That's 800-917-8672.
Follow the conversation.
It's an election to save the soul of America.
760. Follow the leader. KFMB.